Hopefully my voice will hold out. It's already starting to... Whose voice do you hear? Boy, that's important. A father was reading the local newspaper, and he decided to share what he was reading with his teenage son. And the article claimed that children today suffer from a lack of attention, which has caused low educational achievements in school. Furthermore, the article went on to say that children today are lazy, have little concentration, and barely possess any listening skills at all. When he was finished, the father asked, "Well, son, what do you think of that study?" "Well, you know what's coming." The little boy half-heartedly lifted his head and said, "What was that again, Dad?" Sometimes we just don't listen, do we? We don't listen to our parents if we were young enough. We don't listen to our spouses. We don't listen to our children sometimes. Sometimes we do that to God and Jesus, our shepherd, too. Sometimes we're just content to enjoy the presence of the shepherd, and that's okay. But sometimes we get so absorbed in what we are doing, what we're thinking, and with ourselves, that we just don't listen. Kind of like the guy in one of the current advertisements in the States, I think it's for Geico. He's sitting there watching television, eating popcorn in his living room. His very attractive wife walks in and asks this bomb question: "Honey, does this dress make me look fat?" Without even thinking, without even looking up to see his wife, he says, "You betcha." That's the wrong answer. And he's in real big trouble because he didn't listen. He recognized his wife's voice, but he didn't listen. Let's look again at this passage from John 10, 1-6, and see what Jesus has to say about listening to the voice of the shepherd. "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is the thief and the bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. When we think about this little six-verse passage, it tells us that the voice of the shepherd goes before us. The voice of the shepherd guides us. The voice of the shepherd protects us. And the voice of the shepherd tells us who we are. Maurice Boyd tells the story of Hugh Redford, or Redwood, excuse me, who was a celebrated lay preacher in England some years ago. He was in great demand as a speaker. But during one point in his life, Redwood passed through a very difficult time. He had some very hard decisions to make, and he wasn't sure what he should do. He was tempted to just give it all up and run away. He asked God for guidance, but as sometimes happens, it seemed that no guidance was coming. The heavens were silent for him. One evening, he went to have dinner with some friends before going to address a very large public gathering. When the meal was over, the hostess suggested that he go into the study, put his feet up, and relax by the fire. Redwood was led for a little bit of peace and quiet. So that's what he did. And as promised, he found that there was a fire burning in that little room. As he sat down in the chairs, he noticed that on the table beside the chair was a King James Version Bible. He picked it up and he discovered it was open to Psalm 59. He began to read, and when he came to the 10th verse, he found these verses underlined: "The God of my mercy shall prevent me." Now, the word "prevent" is going to throw you, because in the King James Version of the Bible, it means to go before. This is how John Wesley developed the idea of preferential grace, that is, God prepares us to receive salvation. The text means the God of my mercy shall go before me. And sure enough, someone had written in the margin of the Bible, a little paraphrase, it said, my God in his loving kindness shall meet me at every corner. Those words were so powerful. It became like a lamp had turned on for Hugh Redford, or Redwood, excuse me. Later he had made those hard decisions he was wrestling with, and they proved that they were wise decisions. He didn't run away, but went on to accomplish great things and to live a useful and fulfilled life. The God of my mercy shall go before me. My God in his loving kindness shall meet me in every corner. Or as the 23rd Psalm puts it, the Lord is my shepherd. I personally find great comfort in this idea that the shepherd goes before us to prepare a way, which means there's no place that we go that the shepherd hasn't already gone. He's already made sure that the path is clear and safe. Now, there may be hardships, there may be mishaps, there may be struggles, but the good shepherd has already seen those and knows us how to negotiate through that treacherous territory. He has already prepared a way for us to get through. All we have to do is continue to listen to his voice. The voice of the shepherd goes before us. And when we prepare our hearts through prayer and worship, we're more able to fully and clearly understand the voice of the shepherd. And when we listen, the voice of the shepherd guides us. You know, at the age of 47, Nick Thomas found himself unemployed. He was under tremendous financial pressure. Now, he'd had a successful career in the Air Force. He was in the insurance business, but a series of financial reversals really set him back. And the failure of his consulting business left him with, well, really no alternatives at all. He didn't know what to do. Frustrated and seeing no way out, Nick's wife, Liz, turned to prayer. Every morning she'd go down to their local church and she would pray that something good would change their fortune. She was in church one morning, praying about her dilemma, when she was sure she heard these words, make the mustard. You see, her family had a mustard recipe from Russia, and every Christmas she made that special mustard up and gave it to her family and friends as a kind of special gift. At first she just ignored those words, but they kept coming. They got more and more persistent. So reluctantly, she told Nick, who thought she'd gone mad. Liz had no idea who or where the voice had come from. But after considerable discussion and prayer, Nick and Liz decided, hey, we better listen to that voice. She prepared a substantial amount of mustard. They packaged it up. They took it to a local cheese shop. The manager tasted it and immediately bought their entire inventory. Within months, they had cracked the highly competitive New York major deli market with their mustard. I believe that because the Thomases committed their troubles to prayer and looked expectantly to God for guidance, and they listened to the voice of the shepherd, God gave them the direction they needed. You see, the voice of the shepherd guides us. But not only that, the voice of the shepherd, it protects us. I say that because you have to make sure you know whose voice you're listening to and that it's the right voice. There are a lot of voices out there, as you know, vying for your attention and your loyalty. There are a lot of voices that want you to think that they are the voice of the shepherd, when in reality, they are the voice of the thief that Jesus describes in verse 10. How many of you like ice cream? I know I do. Bob's famous ice cream parlor, Bethesda, Maryland, was robbed. But manager Nathan Peabody had a warning that this was going to happen. Moments before the robbery was committed, he was contacted by telephone. The voice said, "Are you the manager? Listen carefully and don't panic. This is the police. You're going to get robbed. Do not resist. Let the robber have your money. We will be waiting right outside your store, and we need to catch him with the money on him. Thank you for your cooperation." Sure enough, shortly a man with a scruffy beard and a knife came in demanding money. Mr. Peabody took all the cash from his drawer and gave it to him. And Peabody watched as the robber left the store, waiting for the cops to close in and make the arrest. Instead, the robber just got in the car and drove away. And as he saw the taillights disappear in the distance, he realized what had happened. He realized that the call hadn't come from the police at all. It had come from the thief. Jesus was right in John 10:10. The thief only comes to steal and to kill and destroy. He, that is Jesus, came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Listening to the voice of the shepherd helps us to make hard choices. Choices about who we are and what we believe and what is really important to us. The voice of the shepherd protects us. And by listening to the voice of the shepherd, he helps us choose. Several years ago, Mark Cuban, who was the owner of the NBA's Dallas Mavericks, offered WGN Chicago radio sports talk host David Kaplan $50,000 to change his name legally to Dallas Maverick. He would also donate $100,000 to Kaplan's favorite charity. When Kaplan politely declined, Cuban sweetened the offer, offering to pay him $100,000 if he would just change his name. After some social searching and being bombarded by emails from listeners who said he was crazy to turn down the money, Kaplan held firm and said no. He explained, "I'd be saying that I'd do anything for money, and that bothers me. My name is my birthright. I'd like to preserve my integrity and my credibility." You see, the name Christian is our birthright. From the moment of our birth into the kingdom of God, the Good Shepherd promises that he will lead us to green pastures. He will lead us beside still waters. He promises to restore our souls and lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. The voice of the shepherd protects us. And finally, the voice of the shepherd tells us who we are. Philip Keller, in his wonderful book, if you haven't read it, you should, it's The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He tells us that sheep are really very fearful creatures. They simply won't lie down unless the shepherd is nearby them. They need to know that he is present. We're like that. Jesus was right when he said we are like sheep without a shepherd. Not all of us, but some of us, we are fearful when we don't feel we belong. Bishop Gerald Kennedy once talked about a young girl who lived in an apartment building in a big city. And after supper in the summer, the children on the block used to gather out in the streets to play. But after a while, one would say that she had to go home because her mother said to be home by 8 o'clock. Or a father would whistle and the boy would have to leave. A mother would call and others would have to go. And the girl said, they would all go. It would get dark. And I would be all alone, waiting for my father or my mother to call me in. They never did. That's sad, isn't it? There are children who don't know a voice of a caring parent, who never get called in or called home. They can do whatever they want as long as they don't get into trouble and they don't inconvenience their parents on what they really want. What they really need is someone to care. Someone to call their name with love. not filled with derision, but someone to reach up and let them know that they matter. Sometimes children grow into adults who, even after hearing all the promises of God who loves us and calls us by name, who gave his life for us, they still persist in living outside the flock. They question the voice of the shepherd. They question the sincerity of his voice. They question the other sheep in the flock, whether they will accept them or not. Or worse, they don't think they're worthy of the shepherd's love. Even after the shepherd has rescued them and has bent down to give them refreshing water. But that doesn't really matter to God. It really doesn't matter to the shepherd. That's why he came. That's why he gave his life on the cross. Because he loves you. The shepherd loves those who don't want to have anything to do with him. He loves the sheep who wander away, who are distracted by that little clump of enticing greenery just over the fence, and find themselves separated from the rest of the flock. And that's when the shepherd comes and searches for them, brings them back into the fold and reminds them where they belong and to whom they belong. Why? Because the voice of the shepherd tells us who we are. Jesus said, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. I should have had Janet do this next part, but anyway, because she grew up on a sheep farm. But anyway, imagine, if you will, that it's a beautiful spring day. And taking in the view, we look up and we notice that there's a large patch of pasture, 3 to 5 acres, whatever. All of a sudden, from two different directions, we see a couple of shepherds bringing their flocks. Both have about 25 to 30 sheep each. The sheep go into the pasture and begin to graze. And the two shepherds, well, they stand at the gate exchanging greetings and swapping local stories. After a bit of time, one of the shepherds opens the gate and hollers something. We don't know what it was he hollered, but his own sheep sure did. All the heads of his flock come up. He hollered something else, and only his sheep came. It's quite a sight. But the truth is even more amazing. Sheep will only respond to the voice of their own shepherd. You and I, we can stand at that gate, we can shout all we want, but the sheep will not respond to us. The voice of our good shepherd is here, my friends. He's whispering his love for you, calling us, wooing us into an ongoing relationship with him. The voice of the good shepherd goes before us. The voice of the good shepherd, it guides us. The voice of the good shepherd, it protects us. And the voice of the shepherd tells us who we are. All we have to do is tune our hearts and souls and ears to the voice of the shepherd. Jesus calls, but he's not like that annoying Verizon guy you see on TV. Can you hear me now? But if your heart and your soul and your ears are tuned to Christ, you will hear the voice of the good shepherd. Are you listening?